Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Today we celebrate All Saints' Day. And this leads us to first ask the question, what is a saint? Who is a saint? A saint is a holy one of God, one who has been made righteous through faith in Christ, one who believes in Christ and in him receives the forgiveness of sins and life forevermore. So when we think about it that way, we can understand that all who believe in Christ, living and dead, are saints. I'm a saint, you're a saint, all people who have gone before us in the faith are saints. This is what St. Paul says in Philippians chapter 1 when he greets the Philippians saying, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi. So Paul makes it clear that all who believe in Christ are saints because they have been made holy by the blood of Christ. But today on All Saints' Day, we particularly focus on those saints who have died, gone before us in the faith, and now are with Christ forevermore. And this is a day that can be very impactful to us. It can be very emotional for us because each and every one of us knows someone who has gone before us in the faith. Each and every one of us knows a loved one who has died and gone to be with Jesus. Our list over here that lists the saints that have gone before us as members of Redeemer Lutheran Church, many of you probably have loved ones on this list, and if they're not on that list, they're near and dear to your heart. Everybody knows of a saint who has gone before us to be with Jesus. And when this does happen, when we experience death of loved ones, or when we experience the possibility of death in our own lives staring us right in the face, it's a simple and natural reaction to mourn, to be sad, because this is truly tragic. It was never meant to be this way. God didn't plan for death to be part of his creation when he made man, when he made the world and everything in it, and he called it very good. Death wasn't part of the equation. Death was a foreign invader that came into this world as a result of sin in this world. And we see and feel that very clearly when we experience death in our lives. It's not supposed to be this way. When we see death, we know that there's something wrong that needs to be made right. So that's why we mourn. That's why we feel sorrow. And Jesus says something amazing. Jesus says something radical to those who mourn. In our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 5, he says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." What does Jesus mean when he says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted"? Why does he say that? How can he say that? Doesn't he know just how tragic death is? How can he say, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted"? Dear friends in Christ Jesus, as we're going to unpack in the sermon today, Jesus says this to those who mourn because it is true. Those who mourn are truly blessed because they know that Christ makes all things new. Christ makes all things whole in his victory over sin, in his victory over death. So that you who mourn, who believe in Christ, you know that Christ has taken sin and death into himself and makes all things new. And that those who mourn know that those whom they have lost are with Christ. And that's the comfort that Christ brings. And that's the message that our text has for us today from Matthew chapter 5. that you Christians who mourn are blessed by Jesus. Because Jesus brings you the comfort of the kingdom of heaven. You who mourn are blessed because Jesus brings you the comfort of the kingdom of heaven. When we experience death in our lives, maybe when we attend a funeral of a loved one, it's a time that's always filled with sorrow. And this is natural because we know that what is happening there is not right. When we see the casket in front of us, it's death staring us straight in the face, reminding us that sin and death are part of this world that we live in, and it wasn't supposed to be this way from the very beginning. It wasn't part of God's design that he called very good. Death came into this world as a result of sin. As St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:56, the sting of sin is death. So we have this sorrow. We have this mourning when we experience death. It is truly a tragedy. But Jesus doesn't want to just leave us here with this sorrow, with this mourning, with this sense of tragedy. Because the one who comes to this realization realizes that he lacks something in himself. We are all going to experience death unless Christ comes first, and there's nothing we can do about it. We are going to experience the loss of loved ones unless Christ comes first, and there's nothing that we can do about it. There's nothing in our own power that can stop this. And this is tragic. We mourn because of this, but it also brings us to a key realization. Because there's nothing we can do about it by our own power, we have to rely on someone else. We have to rely on God. We have to rely on Jesus Christ to solve the problem for us. And that's what Jesus goes on to be talking about in the rest of the Beatitudes. That's what our gospel reading was, the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He's saying, blessed are the people who realize they lack something in themselves. Blessed are the people who realize that they don't have it all figured out in themselves, that they don't have the power to save themselves. Blessed is that person because he realizes that he needs God, that he is completely reliant on Jesus for forgiveness, for life, and salvation. And Jesus blesses that person by giving them forgiveness, life, and salvation. Jesus goes on to say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. When you know that in yourself you don't have righteousness, in yourself all you find is sin, you realize that you need God and his forgiveness and his righteousness placed upon you. And blessed are you when you realize this because Jesus loves to give you this forgiveness. Jesus loves to give you his righteousness that he has won through his suffering, death, and resurrection. We come to these realizations that we lack in ourselves. And when we look at ourselves, all we really see is sin. All we really see is a future that only leads to death. And Jesus comes and deals with us in this state, and he has a word of promise to speak to us. He says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. What does Jesus say to you when you are in this state? When you realize that the only thing in your life by your own power that you're leading to is death, the only thing that comes out of you by your own power is sin, what does Jesus say to you? Blessed are you who mourn, for you shall be comforted. And Jesus isn't being insensitive here, like somebody might be insensitive if they went to a funeral and then just kept trying to make light of the situation and saying a bunch of jokes. That's not what Jesus is doing here. Jesus isn't just patting us on the head and saying, oh, don't worry, everything's going to be okay, even though he knows it's not, and I know it's not going to be. That's not what Jesus is doing here. He's not making light of it, and he's not patronizing you. He's declaring this, that you will be comforted, you who mourn will be comforted, because he makes it true. He makes it true through his suffering, death, and resurrection. And he declares it and promises that you will be blessed in the kingdom of heaven. And what he declares is true. What he promises is true. And it is true because he has done it. He has done it in his suffering, death, and resurrection for you and for me. We suffer in this life. We suffer in the daily effects of sin in this world when we have sickness or injury or health struggles in our life. We suffer when we face death itself and when we face our loved ones facing death itself. We suffer on this earth. But what did Jesus do? He suffers for us. He takes all of our suffering and he takes it into himself on the cross. This is what Isaiah prophesied about Jesus in Isaiah 53, 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Everything that you have ever experienced, everything that you have ever mourned, everything that you ever suffered, Jesus has taken into himself and he bore the weight of it on his own shoulders when he hung on the cross. He suffered to make your suffering whole again. He suffered to take your suffering away. We mourn in this world because of our sin. When the guilt of that sin weighs heavy upon us. And what has Jesus done? He, the innocent one, died in the place of sinners and takes our sin upon himself and pays for that sin. Once again, Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 53, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. When we mourn because of the guilt of our sin, we have the promise from Jesus that you truly are blessed because you are forgiven. Because he has borne your sin on the cross and paid for it. And when you mourn because you have experienced death in your life, when you face death yourself, Jesus even says you too are blessed, for you will be comforted. And he says this as a fact because of what he has done, that he is risen. And in doing so, he has crushed death under his feet forever. This is what St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:56. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has won the victory on the cross, crushing sin, Satan, and death under his feet forever. And why? Because he's risen from the dead. This is what St. Paul says in Romans chapter 6. That all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. We're united with him in his death. But not just that. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. If we've been united to Christ in our baptism, if we've been united to Christ through faith in him and the forgiveness of our sins, he will raise us up from the dead on the last day. So to you who mourn, he gives comfort. To you who mourn, he gives the promise of the kingdom of heaven forever and ever. So what do we say while we still have to live in this world? What do we say when we live in this world with all of its tears, with all of its sorrow, with all of its weeping? We proclaim the gospel. We proclaim the message that Jesus has forgiven us through his blood shed on the cross and washed every sin away. We proclaim that Christ, through his suffering, death, and resurrection, has won heaven for us. We proclaim that because Christ is risen, we too will rise. So while we wait here, while we mourn that we are not yet reunited with our loved ones in the kingdom of heaven, we wait with hope. We know that those loved ones who have gone before us are with Christ, and they are in an intimate communion with God that we can't even imagine quite yet. This is what the book of Revelation was talking about, the saints clothed in the robe of Christ's righteousness, gathered around the throne, praising him. We get a glimpse of that when we come to the altar and receive Christ's very body and blood for our salvation. We're united with God just in the way that they are united with God constantly. We get a glimpse of that kingdom of heaven. In the midst of our own suffering and death and mourning, we cling to the truth of Christ's resurrection. This is what St. Paul says in Romans 8, 38 through 39. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, not even death itself, can take heaven away from you. Nothing, not even death or suffering in this life, can take away your salvation. The same is true for you and those who have gone on already in the faith, so that you have the guarantee that because they believe in Christ, they are with Christ now. And because you believe in Christ, you will go to be with them. Though now we wait in hope, and that hope might have a tinge of sorrow because it's not yet here, the hope is nevertheless real. The hope is nevertheless sure and certain for all the saints of God, living and gone to be with him already. We give thanks to Jesus that he died and rose again for us. We give thanks to Jesus that he has called us all by the gospel, that he has made us all his own in holy baptism, that he has promised to be with us all to the end of the age, and that he has promised to bring us home to be with himself in his kingdom, which will have no end. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.